Good morning. Thanks for investing your time with us. We hope we'll convince you to invest your money with us. My goal is to help you understand our strategy and our proactive approach to driving shareholder value. So to just set the context for a conversation with Jay, I'm going to go through a few slides, starting with our strategy. I also have Steve Shebik with me, who will join us up here in a minute, and Pat Messolaro, who's with Investor Relations with us. So this is our statement that talks about the fact that we're going to be making some forward-looking statements today. We do a lot on transparency. We pride ourselves on transparency. You can see just about anything you want to see on our website to help you assess the risks of investing in Allstate. This chart will be very familiar to those who follow us. It's our consumer-focused strategy, and it's depicted visually here, which breaks down the consumer insurance market into segments based on their preference for type of interaction and their beliefs in insurance about insurance companies. So on the left-hand side of this chart are consumers that prefer to get local advice and assistance as it relates to their insurance needs. On the right-hand side are customers who are comfortable taking care of things on their own. We call them self-serve customers. On the bottom half are customers who value insurance and see a difference between the brands. On the top half are consumers that see very little difference between insurance companies. They tend to be very price-sensitive. They're just sort of like, give me a name that I recognize. So the Allstate brand and about 11,000 local Allstate exclusive agencies and financial reps in the United States and Canada serve customers in that lower left. We estimate this is about half of the total consumer market. And this is a place of historical strength for us, where we compete primarily with State Farm, Nationwide, Farmers, and regional companies. These customers prefer to have one insurance relationship for all the protection needs and therefore tend to bundle their purchases. We acquired Esurance, which is in the fourth quarter of 2011, to have a unique value proposition for customers that prefer self-service but still want a branded product. And while our market share is lower in this segment, we're growing rapidly and building product and service infrastructure to support even higher growth. Now, the largest companies addressing this segment are GEICO and Progressive Direct. In the upper left are customers that want local advice but do not see a significant difference between insurance companies. They're served by independent agencies that offer products from multiple companies, including our Encompass offering. We have plenty of room to grow market share in this segment as well. The major competitors here are Liberty, Progressive, Travelers, and Hartford. And with Answer Financial completing the picture in the upper right, we're the only insurance company that has unique offerings and business models in each segment. Now, last year, we had five operating priorities, which are shown on the left-hand side of this, to create focus as we implemented our strategy. We achieved each of those priorities in what was really a great year for Allstate. So after a number of years of adverse impact relating to repositioning our homeowners business, we're now seeing good premium growth from all of our brands in which we underwrite risks. In each brand, they had growth in both premiums and policies in 2013. The Allstate Protection auto recorded combined ratio was 96.4, which reflects active management of both pricing and loss cost control by all of our brands. Now, Esurance and Encompass segments have auto combined ratios that are higher than we would like. So we're adjusting pricing and underwriting to ensure that growth generates good lifetime value. And we may see some deceleration of growth in those two brands in 2014. The Allstate Protection homeowners underlying combined ratio in 2013 improved to 62.7, reflecting our continued focus on improving returns and the benefits of good weather. On a recorded basis, this business went from an underwriting loss of $1.3 billion in 2011 to a profit of over $1.3 billion in 2013, a $2.6 billion swing, which was a function from both better underlying profit performance and lighter catastrophes. Now, those homeowner underlying results, we're now achieving targeted results that we set out to get 4 years ago. While annuity returns have improved, the long-term outlook there continues to be challenged by the low interest rates. Now, we continue to position our property liability portfolio with a shorter duration to mitigate the impact of rising interest rates. And while this action has pulled forward income because it generates capital gains and lowers our risk profile, but it does reduce the portfolio yield and future operating income. That said, we continue to believe it's the right economic risk and return trade-off for our shareholders. We're also focused on reducing costs so we can deliver the best value to our customers. Last year, we made several changes to our employee and related benefit programs, basically offer more consistent programs across all of our employees and better align with current market rates. The changes had a significant favorable impact on balance sheet and will lower our cost structure going forward. Our summary financial results for 2013 are shown on the right slide. We finished ahead of 2012 on just about everything, revenues, policies in force, operating income, and achieved the goal we established in 2013 of generating an operating return on equity of 13% in 2014. So we achieved that in 2013. These excellent results provide us the flexibility to continue to invest in driving sustainable growth while generating strong cash returns for our shareholders. So we had a great year in 2013. Now it's time to move forward. The five operating priorities we've established for 2014 highlight the evolution from focusing on strengthening the core business to positioning ourselves for sustainable growth. The operating priority for 2014 on growth is in units rather than premiums, as the importance of market share growth is now higher than just raising average premiums in homeowners. Secondly, we want to maintain the underlying combined ratio in 2014. That really combines the second and third priorities we had in 2013 and reflects the significant progress we've made in the underlying margins of homeowners. Proactively managing our investment risk and return remains a priority, although the focus is going to shift a little bit in 2014. In 2013, we were working on getting the interest rate exposure on the property liability portfolio down. This year, we'll be focusing on shifting from public fixed income corporate securities to investments that offer higher yielding assets, typically in the private market, where the returns are not as linked to overall market performance. Think of it as going from beta to alpha. The 2014 priority to modernize the operating model is a broader and more sustainable approach to the 2013 priority of reducing the cost structure. So we'll continue to take a look at obviously reducing our costs, but it all starts with a customer. So we're pursuing continuous improvement and streamlining our technology so we can give faster, better, and more cost-effective service. To continue increasing shareholder value, focus is now being shifted to building long-term growth platforms. So we'll continue to look at ways to become even a more integral part of our customers' lives. And the evolution of the connected customer and telematics and a number of structural and technological changes offers really good growth opportunities. So we look at our growth. We continue to see positive growth momentum across all of our businesses as the benefits of the work we've done over the past few years are materializing. The chart in the upper right, the corner, shows that the trajectory of protection growth from quarter to quarter. The Allstate brand auto has delivered two consecutive quarters of positive policy growth. That's a year-over-year basis. That's because the rate of decline in the homeowners business has gone down as our actions to improve profitability there have been reduced. The negative drag on policy growth from those actions has diminished until we're positioned of growing market share. We also now have a more engaged exclusive agency force that is well capitalized and better equipped to serve our customers. 3 years ago, we set out to increase the consistency and effectiveness of our Allstate agencies. We did it at the same time that we knew we were going through a period of slow growth because of what we're doing in homeowners. So we rationalized our footprint, we made changes to compensation structure, we implemented a number of technology changes to give more timely and comprehensive education to our agencies. We now see the benefits of that of our agency distribution force is now expanding. Now, we believe our approach to the connected customer is another way we differentiate our customer value proposition and position ourselves for future growth. And we have both the Allstate brand DriveWise and then in Esurance we have DriveSense. They offer interactive products that have the potential to change the insurance market. These offerings enable us to give customers better, more accurate pricing and broaden the services that come from being a customer of our company. Our customer value proposition with these programs is different than some of our competitors. Our product establishes connectivity in the platform in the car that enables to increase customer touch points. And we're developing a number of services that go with that, such as enabling drivers to monitor their driving score, become safer drivers, watch their teens where they drive. Beyond innovations in the connected customer space, we have a number of other businesses that provide platforms for growth. When you combine these businesses, we've combined them into what we call our business-to-business platform, and it's led by Kathy Mabe. Allstate Benefits is one of the largest insurance providers of voluntary benefits in the workplace, generating almost $1 billion of revenue in 2013 and a 9% growth rate over the prior year. We acquired this business in 1999, and now it's three times its size when we purchased it. Allstate Business Insurance provides small business and commercial auto coverage through the Allstate brand. Allstate Roadside provides 24/7 roadside assistance services to customers. That consists of both the Allstate Motor Club. We have a variety of wholesale programs where we represent about 25% of the domestic auto manufacturers. We expanded this business in 2008 by acquiring GE's signature business. We also have in here a business called Good Hands Roadside, which is a pay-as-you-go, which has 1.6 million customers in it. And then Allstate Dealer Services provides service contracts and products sold in conjunction with auto lending vehicle sales, and it grew over 50% last year. So Allstate represents an attractive investment opportunity for a number of reasons. When you invest in it, you get an outstanding personal lines franchise, competitively differentiated strategy, focused on those four segments that we talked about. We stay focused on our priorities. We proactively work to adjust. We have good underlying returns in our auto and home business, and that's given us the ability to generate a good return on capital. Last year, our shareholders experienced a total return of about 40%, and you can see we had a large, high cash return as well. So to summarize, as Jay comes up, we have a competitively differentiated strategy. We're starting to grow again after a period of repositioning the business, and we believe in balancing risk and return for our shareholders to create value. So with that, Jay and Steve are going to join me, and we're going to have a conversation.
Pretty fancy set here, huh?
Yeah.
I guess so. I'd like to start with your biggest distribution channel, the Allstate agency channel. Several years ago, you introduced a fair amount of change into that channel from a compensation standpoint, merging agencies. And I remember at the time there was concern, how was this going to play out? Now we're 3 years later. How is it played out? What are you hearing from your agencies?
Well, you're right. There was a lot of concern, not only amongst our agency owners as well as everybody else. It's played out great. So we do a couple of things. Every year we monitor and measure our agency satisfaction, and it was the highest rate it's ever been last year. So they're telling us they're happy. Secondly, they're acting like they're happy. They've expanded their businesses. So these are local businesses. We think of it as a system. They have cash flow that they need to generate to grow their business. When they generate that cash flow, they then invest in hiring more licensed sales producers, and we added thousands of licensed sales producers inside those agencies last year. They're doing more marketing, so they're growing. They're happier. As a result of growing, they're making more money. That makes them even happier, and that gives them the money to invest in doing good work for our customers. So if we also measure customer satisfaction at a whole bunch of touch points, and our agencies have really improved their performance over the last 3 years, which leads to increased retention. And if you look at our growth rate in the Allstate brand last year, a large portion of it was due to increased customer retention.
So I'll switch to a different channel. Talk about Esurance. So you bought that company, I guess, a little over $1 billion. I've been losing money for the first year at least. When do we expect the profitability to start to kick in? Clearly, you're focused on growth, and that's fine, but is it 5 years? Is it 3 years? Any sense of when you will shift to more of a profit-focused measure for that operation?
Okay. Let me go up first to the strategy, then I'll come to the specifically when profitability. So we bought Esurance because we thought we were just a better owner. Than White Mountains was. We're in the personal lines business. We know a lot about it. We have a good brand. So we did a couple of things. First is we repositioned the brand on that self-serve segment. It used to be, their tagline used to be, people when you want it, technology when you don't. And if you go back to that four square, it sort of applies to everybody. And you have to do that if you're trying to appeal to the whole market to make your economics work. We didn't have to do that. So we positioned it as insurance for the modern world. And we repositioned the brand. We're also better at claims, so we've substantially reduced our costs in claims. We're also better at pricing. And then we endorsed their brand with the Allstate brand to raise its trust level. So that made us a better owner. Now we're starting to expand that business in product and services. So we're in 16 states with motorcycle, one state with homeowners. We're in 16 states with renters. So we're starting to expand the product line as well. So all that takes money, which is okay, because as long as you're generating growth, it's in getting good lifetime value. So that business, of course, most of your expenses in advertising up front. So when we look at the profitability of that business, we look at the loss ratio as opposed to the total profitability. And the loss ratio is probably 3 to 4 points high right now. That said, it's still generating a return that's economic, not as good as we'd like, but still above our cost of capital. So we continue to invest in advertising and growth to drive the business. So last year we were up to 30% in policies in force and premiums. And we'll keep investing and keep running a total loss as long as we're generating extra shareholder value. So in fact, this year we're expanding even more. We're putting more money into marketing and taking what we reposition the brand. Now we're trying to strengthen the brand by saying we're better than Geico.
You kind of look at the long-term economics of this business and the lifetime value of this business you're putting on then.
We do, yeah. We look at what is the cost of advertising to get it. We look at the cost of acquisition. Then we look at the loss ratio and say how much are we making excluding the acquisition cost. And then we look at the retention of it, and the business is retaining at a higher level than we thought it was.
Okay. On the auto side, you've done a great job, honestly, of maintaining a very attractive auto combined ratio. The last several quarters, it looks as if claims severity is ticking up, pricing may not be keeping pace with it, yet your goal in 2014 is to maintain overall margins. That's a bit of a struggle. How concerned are you that these loss costs are not going to continue to escalate from here?
I'm always concerned because it's a huge source of profitability. So one of the reasons we've run great combined ratios, top of the industry, lowest in the industry for a decade. One of the ways we do that, I say, is I'm paranoid. We spent a bunch of time focusing on it. So just to set it in context, back in the 2009-10 period, we leaned pretty heavily on auto profitability because the homeowners business wasn't making any money. We didn't know where weather was going, and we didn't have the business fixed. So we leaned heavily into that. Then in 2012, we could see that the trajectory was pretty good. Homeowners was going to get fixed. So we expanded the risk profile in the auto business to start to grow it again. That creates a little more volatility. That doesn't mean you lose money. It just means you got to react faster. Last year, you're right, in that loss cost ticked up a little faster than the average premiums went up. But if you look at our increases, they were mostly back-end loaded. So if you in our investor supplement, we show the breakout of rate changes by quarter, and you'll see that the rate changes were really in the back half of the year rather than the first half of the year. Loss costs were, of course, the whole year. So we continue to react. We'll probably take more rate increase this year than we took last year. But it's all in the range of it's not really that big a deal. I mean, you're talking about 1 or 2% in change in the rate of growth of average premium, which is, you're talking about $6, $7 per customer per 6 months. So it's not a big deal.
You had mentioned homeowners insurance, but obviously it was been a tough line of business. And you took significant action, not just pricing, but underwriting action. Are you where you need to be in homeowners? Should we expect more action in 14 and 15, or is the shift, hey, we can start to grow this business now?
Having been in the weather business for 19 years, I would say we're where we need to be based on where the weather is today.
So it's always changing.
Steve and I spent an incredible amount of time looking at returns on capital, not just by line, but by state. We are comfortable with where the returns are today, given where catastrophes are today. Last year, in fact, in 2013,
2013, catastrophes were really low relative to the prior 5 years. So, of course, that business, you know, made a tremendous amount of gross dollars last year. We're priced for them to be higher than last year. If they stay at that level, we'll continue to be priced well, and we'll continue to get really high returns. If they go up, if weather gets worse and catastrophe losses go up from here, we'll do what we've done in the past, which is raise prices. I think the average rate in homeowners, Steve, is from like $800 to $1,100 over the last
3-4 years.
Yeah. So we've made, we'll do what we need to do there.
Can you see if your competition is still raising prices in homeowners? Do you get a sense of that?
We were out early. So we started in 2008. I think other people probably started 2010. I think the rate of growth will probably come down some next year. Ours came down in 2013. But we still believe we're really well positioned to start to grow that business. What we tried to do is take the homeowners business from what was a problem to being a competitive advantage.
I got an email yesterday from a fellow analyst of mine wanting to know, he does telecom, this is not your question, but I'm setting it up for email. When will insurance companies have devices in people's homes to know when they're broken into or when the heat is on too high? Which I thought was kind of silly, but obviously you do have stuff in people's cars. And so I wanted to talk about telematics. I think it very well could be the most interesting technological development in the next 5 years. Progressive talks a lot about this. They're obviously ahead of the curve. Seemingly with your brand name and your resources, you can pretty easily catch up. What's the game plan for the next couple of years?
We're highly focused. Well, I think you're right, first, that and I don't think a lot of people focus on it, that telematics is the opportunity to change the game in the insurance space and make it more than just we'll restore your car or your home when something bad happens. In fact, it'll be about changing it so we can help bad things not happen, which is a change. So if you look at our brand, we've started to reposition our brand to about being good, bringing good things out, not just fixing things. If you look at our website, you'd see some, or again on YouTube, you'll see some, we call it the good life, because we think that the insurance business is going to move from restoration to really, really be truly protection, including things like connected car, connected home. So a huge change, I think, coming. What it does is it offers us, the telematics business has three vectors for us. One is it helps us do a more precise job of pricing, because when we're pricing your auto insurance, we're making an estimate as to how often you're going to have a loss, and we do that based on data. To the extent we have more data specifically about you, so if we know, Jay, that you're driving 80 miles an hour up a turnpike, then we know you have a greater probability of having a severe accident, so we charge you differently. Today, without telematics, we don't know that. So more precise pricing. And it is every bit as powerful as credit. And credit is what really took the auto insurance industry from more volatile returns to, if you look at us, Progressive, Geico, many of the other players, the profitability in that business is much more stable now than it used to be 20 years ago. So it's every bit as powerful on pricing. Secondly, and that's where Progressive and our offering exists. The second piece is what it can do while you're in the car. Everybody wants a piece of that action. You're in your car 4 hours or so a week, some people even more. Whether you're a cable company or an auto company, you're a telecom company, everybody wants a piece of that action. We actually, as insurers, have a way to get into the car because we can give you better pricing. When you take our telematics offering, we say, if you put DriveWise in your car, we'll save you 10 to 30% on your price. That's different than me calling you and saying, hey, how would you like to get your car connected? And it'll cost you $25 a month like your cable costs you. And so we have a different way in. Ours right now, we have Progressive's offering is really, it's called Snapshot. It's at the first one. It's all about pricing. They ask for your device, their device back. You take the device out of the car and you send it back to them. Ours, you leave the device in the car, so we stay connected. That's why we call it DriveWise. So we believe that's a place where we can generate extra value for our customers and that they'll pay us for that. So while Progressive has had Snapshot in more cars than anybody else, it's not clear who's got more devices in cars today. And so it's a big offering for us. We're pushing hard at it. One of the things we will spend a tremendous amount of money on in 2014 is developing several different offerings in the marketplace. Nobody knows where this is going to go. So, you know, on a routine basis, Steve and I go from feeling like we're 2 years behind to nobody knows what they're doing, which is probably a good place to be because we're working really hard. We're going to test a number of different offerings in the DriveWise space in 2014 so that we can rapidly expand the business. But as of the end of last year, and we're going to stop disclosing this number, I think, as of last year, we were in 300,000 cars, and we were collecting, you know, a couple billion miles a year. So the third piece, besides customer value proposition, would be what do you do with all that data? And we're not sure yet.
Any chance of working with the car companies to actually connect in as they build a car with certain devices?
Yes. Yeah. There's two ways you go to market here, and we'll probably have two different offerings. One is the OEs. So, you know, whether it's OnStar or Ford, or they all got their own platform. And you need to make sure that your application can run on their platform. In the aftermarket space, which is, of course, where most of the cars are, there's really no dominant player. So we have a different position on what we're trying to do in the aftermarket.
Can we get, by the way, some mics for the audience? Oh, good. If you have any questions down here, actually. If you have a question, just raise your hand. We'll get you a mic.
I just wanted, before we get too far away from homeowners and auto, and I'm going to make you restate yourself just a little bit, but to summarize what I'm hearing then is from the auto and the homeowner side, you've basically achieved, you know, over the past several years, you've laid out all these targeted goals, you've reached the majority of them, I think it's fair to say, except for needing to tweak Esurance and maybe Compass a little bit, and you're now ready to progress forward basically in every avenue with growth or look for growth opportunities. I guess what I'm not hearing and what I want to make sure I'm not missing is there still a hot spot or a problem spot, like we've talked about New York or Florida in the past in auto, or there were quarters where you mentioned that maybe some of the homeowners improvement was attributable underlying to luck or good weather. I'm not hearing that now. So are we at the point where basically everything is, you know, within reason where you want it to be?
First, Allison, you heard me correct. Maybe I'll say it another way. So we basically for the last 4 years have been in a fix and run mode. And fix it and run it. We're now shifting to a run and build mode. So there is some difference, but there's run in both of them. Just like your household, any relationship you have, not everything's perfect. And so there are certain hot spots in the auto business that we're chasing after, trying to get fixed. You know, I'm not particularly liking results in Michigan these days. The MCCA has got some stuff going on that needs to be fixed. So, you know, this is a relatively thin margin business that you really got to spend your time focusing on. So we have a series of processes that really help us manage it. Steve, maybe you want to talk about the mocks and how we do local pricing to show you how we deal with those hotspots.
Yeah, so you know, we have 14 different regions. We have management operating committees, which have responsibility either for the large state, a single large state, or a accumulation of states. And as part of that, they focus very carefully on the returns we have in those states by line, by product. They review the results on a monthly basis. They make changes as necessary. So, you know, a little earlier, Jade asked a question, Tom answered. You know, we were taking price increases later in the year. If you look at those graphs that we had in our earnings call, we had very benign frequency and severity trends fourth quarter last year, first quarter this year. So we didn't take that many rate changes. They were very, I think they were 0.3 points or something. as the year went on and you start seeing a trend go up, we started reacting in the various states. So then you start seeing like 0.8, 0.7, 8.9 as the last couple quarters of the year. So that's the kind of way that we react on a real-time basis. In terms of the away from the Allstate brand, then, you know, you mentioned Encompass. We need to work on the Encompass auto and home yet. We'll try to get their returns a little better than they were. If you look, they've okay returns, but not consistent with what we would like. And Esurance, clearly, as Tom said, the loss ratio is running 3 to 4 points higher than we wanted. With that said, they're growing well. Really economically, over the period of time, we believe we're making an economic return. But we'd like to get a better return than just the cost of capital on that business.
Question over here. And right behind you, then we'll swing over to this side.
Could you talk about the outlook for investment income and what you're doing? You made some references to, sounds like, more private equity. And so can you talk about your strategy there?
So in the investment world, we have, of course, the thing that's impacting most insurance companies, which is interest rates are going to have been relatively low as the portfolio rolls off. You're losing investment income. And if you look at ours, you see really no different there. We accelerated ours, though, this year because about 18 months ago, we decided we thought rates had a better chance of going up than going down. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out because rates were so low. But what we did was we started selling bonds, taking capital gains, front-loading the operating income because we thought rates would go up. That trade, if you marked it to market today, probably made us $300 or $400 million. We did it because we thought it was the right risk-return profile. We're not trying to ride a hedge fund or anything. We just look at the risk and the return, and we said it wasn't the right thing to do. We've done that. We've approached our portfolio in a number of ways. Even though that hurt us on getting our 13% ROE goal. I mean, but we said, you know what? We're not going to be a slave to any goal. What drives shareholder value is cash. So get the right cash in-house. So we've done that when we took our muni portfolio down from $26 billion to $13 billion. We did it when we went long in credit in 2009 and 2010. So those have been, though, more macro calls, which you were able to make in an investment market where you were at the extremes of either the returns or performance. As we look forward, we think those macro calls, basically beta, are harder to make to get good returns. So what we're doing is shifting to more idiosyncratic returns and saying, rather than just thinking about fixed income, we'll make more sector bets. And we've changed our risk management practices. We've changed our portfolio management so that we can track it, monitor it, and measure the risk and adjusted return on. So it's really more alpha investing. You see that a little bit. It was not like we figured this out last year. All these things we do over a long period of time. You see that in investment income last year. So last year, investment income was pretty close to flat.
Yep.
But a big change in limited partnership income went from
a couple hundred million, 350 to 550.
Yeah, so big increase. So that kept it flat because that stuff we had been investing in a couple of years started to pay returns. I think what it will do is generate good returns. We expect it to generate good economic returns for us, but it'll be a little more volatile. And so, some years we'll have the payoffs because this stuff tends to not always turn out. And it's not like clipping coupons and a fixed income portfolio. So it'll be a little more volatile. That said, we believe it's a good risk-return trade-off for our shareholders.
Let's shift over here to Josh Smith.
Thanks. I want to go back to Esurance and talk a little bit about what it means to be economically profitable over the life of the customer. What is the average life of a customer? I see retention ratios of 80% here. Do they really stay 5, 6, 7 years? Advertising expense, you're spending a lot now, changing the brand, but it's not like you're going to stop advertising. Are you going to keep consistent advertising spending? Is it going to go down over time? Clearly, the policies are supposed to grow, and they grew 30% last year, and they're going to hopefully continue to grow. What is the ultimate goal in terms of a combined ratio? Are you looking at a 112 or so X the amortization? Do you get that down to 100? Can you make money slightly over 100? I mean, And finally, on the loss ratio, you've said you've got better claims handling capabilities, but yet the loss ratio sort of hasn't moved. And why hasn't that happened?
So a lot in that question, but I expect no less. So first, in terms of Esurance's retention ratio, the number you see is a blended retention ratio. In the insurance space, I assume this is true for other people, but I don't see their numbers. There's a measure we call NTR, number of times renewed. So the first renewal rate is always a lot lower than 3 or 4 years out. You get 3 or 4 years out, renewal rate tends to be like in the high 90s, mid 90s, something like that. Esurance is around 80, but a lot of that's new business. The new business rate's obviously much lower than that. So when you're looking at the retention rate, you got to be careful because there's a huge mix impact in there when you're growing at 30%. When we look at the lifetime term of those policies, we're comfortable that we're getting a good return, even at existing loss ratios. I would encourage you, as you're looking at Esurance, to look at the loss ratio, not the combined ratio. The loss ratio should be about 4 points lower than it is today. You could make a case it's 3.5, but we negotiate that one with our teams. And that'll give it a higher return on capital than it's getting today. It's not that it's not an adequate return on capital, Josh. It's just I would like it to be higher, and it should be higher because we're good at that business. In terms of advertising, we're going to spend more. And in fact, I'll show you something. Maybe what you could do is you could run. I can show you a couple of ads that'll make the point of. I want to make 2 points here. One is we're trying to take the brand and strengthen it by positioning it differently against Geico. And so if you run ad 5 for me, and then if you could run ad 3, I think you'll see where we're trying to take the brand and why we're willing to invest in it. These take like 30 seconds, so I won't. Oh, all right. Well, then, we won't run them because we don't have enough time left. But if you watch our ads, okay, you'll see Esurance ads. You'll see a substantial amount of media money going into the first quarter, much higher than we've had in the past. So when you see Esurance's results in the first quarter, I'm telling you they're not going to look as good because we're putting a lot of money into it. You'll see we're running ads that go more directly at Geico. So, for example, in one of the ads, it says, "You must think I'm crazy. I saved 15% in 15 minutes." And then the ad says, "Yeah, it is crazy. Wait 15 minutes. Esurance, you can do it 7.5. Insurance for the modern world." So we're going aggressively at trying to enhance that brand. So we're going to spend more money in advertising, but it's because we believe we can. The loss ratio is economic today, given the retention. And we're willing to invest in growth, even though we don't have the loss ratio exactly where we want it. I'm taking some risk that we're going to continue to write business at slightly above the cost of capital, but not hugely above it. But I believe that we can eventually reposition. What are we doing to get loss ratio better? You asked that. It's really about pricing and discounts. So there's a few states where we lean too heavily on discounts. And that lowers your average premium. And then a few states where we aggressively, Esurance was mostly a no prior carrier when we bought it. I mean, no prior insurance, higher risk. We took it into the preferred pricing space. We're really good at preferred pricing. We sliced it a little thin. That said, we know how to do preferred pricing, so we're raising rates there.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. So join me a second time, Steve.